The numbers told the story, they always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube, TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. It's all brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. In the hizzy, producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Kelly, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. It's the, you ever experienced in this business, you know, that we're all slowly losing our hearing as we get older because we just sit here with headphones and things in our ear all day long? Well, I've discovered that Dustin Sweetelson might be the only person at this company more deaf than I am back here, because every morning I sit down here, I get blasted with audio in my ear.
Wow.
He's got that volume cranked high.
I don't know that I'm losing my hearing, but you know the thing about losing your hearing, unlike losing, say, your vision, is you don't know that you're losing your hearing. It's the only issue.
When you were out last week, I walked in one day, Matt Brown walks in a minute behind me. He's like, dude. I'm like, what? He's like, you didn't hear me yelling your name in the casino? I'm like, no, not at all.
Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen. Looks like he's in his 30s, actually. Much, much older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get off my lawn.
You know, I'm just saying, you're aging rapidly in that count. Mike Pritchard to talk football with us today. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke to talk baseball. Dan Bespris on the NBA, the best audio in the biz. Always look forward to Bespris on the show. Will Hill as well to give us all his bets, basketball, baseball, beyond, everything he's thinking about these days. We must begin. Oh, an NFL schedule. We'll let you know again the games that have trickled out. From the NFL schedule, obviously the official schedule releases tomorrow, but you know, a little more than a handful of games have trickled out. We'll get to those as well. But it's the NBA front and center. And oh, Kelly, I'm a documented 1-0 now, pre-flop.
Yeah, you
NBA
are.
ATS on this show as Denver gets it done. We'll get to that game second. But you'll notice with the Celtics love yesterday on the show, I kind of kept my mouth shut. I'm just like, I don't want to touch this game. And the Sixers go into Boston, game 5, series knotted up at 2 apiece. They don't just beat the Celtics. By the way, the final score, if you just see the final score of 115-103, oh no, it wasn't even that close. That is a very deceptive score. The Sixers just absolutely destroy the Celtics and steal, once again, for the second time in this series, home court advantage away from the Celtics, and now we're on the doorstep of the Eastern Conference Finals. This game yesterday, Sixers led by as many as 21. And here's the real thing. They led by double digits for all but 21 seconds in the second half. Double digits for all but 21 seconds in the second half. In fact, if you go to the 4:11 mark, 4:11 remaining in the second quarter till the end of the game, all but 47 seconds they led by double digits. The only bright spot in the whole game for the Celtics was this one period in the second quarter when the Sixers were up by 15, 42-27, and the Celtics rattled off 10 in a row. And you're like, okay, maybe they're going to make this a game. That was it. That was the only flash in that game. The Celtics led the entire game for a total of 2 minutes and 29 seconds, and that was right at the outset. That's it. Embiid, 33-7, 7 boards, 4 blocks, including one that was the signature block of the game in transition after he had missed a shot with just over 5 minutes left in the game, ran the court to swat away a Jaylen Brown layup. Maxey, 30.7 boards. Harden, 17-8-10, only had 8 field goal attempts. Tobias Harris, 16-11. The Sixers shot 50.6% from the field, 49-36 rebounding advantage. You get the idea. And here's Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer. James Harden and Tyrese Maxey ran a combined 53 pick and rolls. It's pick and roll week here on A Numbers Game. And scored an incredible 1.15 points per play in Game 5 per second spectrum. Harden orchestrated the entire game. Maxey provided a major spark, a dominant effort by the Sixers against the Celtics. Steve Kerr, memo to Steve Kerr, keep that in mind. Because, again, the Warriors hit at an even higher rate than this in their Game 4 loss to the Lakers and then went away from it. Oh, Raheem Palmer checking in. According to second spectrum, the Harden-Embiid pick and roll scored 21 points on 1.23 points per possession on 17 direct chances in Game 5. The Maxey Embiid pick and roll scored 18 points on 1.38 points per possession on 13 direct chances, a sign of how much this Celtics defense has fallen.
Yeah.
Let me just say this. Tatum, 36, 10, and 5. but 11 of 27 from the field, 3 of 11 from behind the arc. In contrast to Jaylen Brown's much more efficient 24 on 9 of 16 shooting, 3 of 8 from behind the arc. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a segment within a segment that I like to call Kelly Bidlin Goes Off on Jason Tatum and the Celtics.
Oh, man. Are we referring to my text last night?
Yes, we are.
I probably don't even remember exactly what I told you.
Jason
Tatum's slightly overrated, if you want me, if that's what we're going to get at here. We've Boston too much, Joe Mazzulla, no adjustments whatsoever, and it's roll the ball out and Jason Tatum to pretend to be Kobe Bryant, who you're not. It's take every shot from anywhere you want, no matter how bad of a look it is, and then maybe the worst play in basketball. He's Kobe when he shoots jumpers, and then when he drives to the basket, it's I'm Giannis every time. I can finish this because my arms and my reach never ends, right? No, it does. It does, Jason Tatum. You're not Giannis Antetokounmpo. One of the worst plays in the NBA, and you see this all the time with Boston, it feels like, is Jason Tatum drives, doesn't get a good angle, his layup goes off the glass, doesn't even catch rim, and whoever's waiting there on the other team for an easy rebound, and then they're off and running the other direction with numbers. Happens all the time. Tatum's a really good player. It feels like he is constantly stuck in, like, year 3, though, of his development. I just don't – there seems to be this massive, massive – like separation in people's minds between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And for me, that does not exist. And if I was Jaylen Brown, I would be getting frustrated as the situation at some point.
That lived up to its billing. You did very well.
Okay,
there.
Well, thanks.
I thought you were going to scream, you're not Kobe, a little louder, but you know, other than that,
you're not, man. God, it's killing me. Like the Boston Celtics, if you're a fan of this franchise, I'll stand by this, Gil. Like you have no excuse for you to not win. Like, a championship or multiple championships with the core of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Dude,
but you're going to screw it up.
The Bucks got eliminated, and it was all there laid out for the Celtics.
Yep.
And they did not show up. They looked listless last night. Celtics down 3-2, 538, Nate Silver's operation, that he found it anyway. Their projection system now gives the Celtics just a 27% chance to return to the finals, conference finals, that is. Last season, let's get to the defensive part, because Raheem Palmer mentioned the defense, I believe. Last season, Boston allowed a whopping 5.1 fewer points per 100 possessions than the league average. This season, that was 3.3 points better than the average. But in this year's playoffs, when you look at all the other playoff teams, only the Hawks, Suns, Bucks, and Clippers have given up more points per 100 possessions per cleaning the glass. Jaylen Brown barely averaging more assists than turnovers, 3.5 to 3.1. Tatum, after going 11 for 27, has been at or below 45% in 7 of his 11 games. Al Horford, who said he's an elite shooter, is shooting below 40% from the field for the entire postseason. And then there's I'll add this into the mix. Boston feels like they think they're the Warriors. So they have a 42.5 three-point attempts per game in the regular season, trailed only the Warriors. They went 12 of 38, that's 31.6% in the loss last night from behind the arc. That's now 1-4 in playoff games in which the Celtics failed to hit at least 39% of its threes. Yeah, and we even saw a little, remember how Draymond, when he got that board against Schroeder the other night, and then he just kicked it back out to Curry, didn't even think about going off for the two? The Celtics are starting to do that. You're not the Warriors. You don't have Stephen Clay. Stop kicking it out for threes.
Yeah, they take a ton. I mean, they are close to Golden State with live or die by the three. I mean, you'd like to see more activity at the rim, to your point. They have the athletes to do it. It's really frustrating. I don't know if the you want to hear Joe Mazzulla's level of concern after the game,
because
this is classic freaking audio.
You know, that was the first game of the playoffs that we didn't play well, in my opinion. And so we can't lose our perspective of we played really good basketball. And that was our first really, really bad game of the playoffs. And so it doesn't come at necessarily the best time, but we just have to shift our perspective and get ready for the next game.
Yeah, not necessarily the best time. Celtics are 1.5-point favorites at Philly in game 6.
How cool and calm does he sound?
He sounds very calm.
Like this is no big deal.
It's like he's Phil Jackson or Pat Riley
right
there.
Yes.
Celtics are, we've been having it at 2-point favorites on the road against the Sixers. Would you play the Celtics in this game? Would you play the Sixers? Would you play the Celtics in the series price now?
No. I would play the one bet I might make regarding the Celtics would be a bet for them to win the NBA Finals.
Plus 160 to win the series.
Yeah, plus 160 to win the series. I think you can get like 4-1-ish for them to win the NBA Finals right now. I'm just spin it. If they get out of this series, you're playing the Heat or Knicks, but it's going to be the Heat. You're going to be massive favorites against the Heat. So I would rather have a Finals ticket of like 4-1 rolling into the Western Conference, where if they got to that point, they'd be favorites over whatever team comes out of the West too.
Think about the thin line. Well, they were up 2-1, and remember that flourish by the Celtics late in game 4 against the Sixers. They came all the way back, took the lead, looked like they were going to win it. They were up 5, I believe it was 5 late, and then the Sixers forced overtime. Literally, like, the difference between a game and some change from being down 3-1 to being up 3-2 if you're the Sixers. What a turn of events in that series.
Yeah, I don't really have much confidence at this point that they're coming out of this series. I mean, it looks like there are problems within the team, with the coaching. And guess what? Joel Embiid shed a knee brace last night, and he's rolling now without any real limitations, it seems. So buckle up and get ready for game 6 and try to win that one on the road.
By the way, when Jokic had good games in the postseason after he won MVPs, did announcers collectively refer to him as the MVP as much as they referred to Embiid as the MVP last night over and over? We'll talk about the Nuggets game last night against the Suns. And, of course, the two games tonight, Heat-Knicks, Warriors-Lakers. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Won't take you but a few seconds, and then you stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. That won't take you but a few minutes. And then you start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. New York Mess 16. Are you guys whispering? I had to max out the volume in my vehicle to hear Kelly Bidlin goes off. Yeah, I didn't warn him. That was a problem. What did you say off air? I said, just start reading your text instead, your drunken text.
Well, we were discussing off air. Yeah, I was very impressed with Gil was really confident that I was going to remember the couple texts I sent last night where, to be fair, you and I were texting a lot. So yeah. It was in the middle. And yeah, I had a few beverages in me. So
Interesting. Teasers and parlays. Bringing the fire in the first segment. Talk about the Celtics. All true, though. LFC title records. Maybe it's the screaming toddler-like tantrums which is causing the Kelly Bidlin hearing loss.
That's fair.
That's possible, too. I didn't consider that. Before we get to the Nuggets Suns, let's just stay in the East. First of two games tonight. Heat trying to close out the Knicks, but they're going to have to do it at Madison Square Garden in Game 5. Heat lead the series 3-1. Is this the night? Like, do the Heat just keep rolling, or do the Knicks have some pride as 3.5-point favorites? And once again, a muted total as it should be in this series, 209.5. Do you have a play here? I'll just say this again. The Eastern Conference games, I want nothing to do with them pre-flop. These are all live betting.
I'm gonna throw this back at you. Let me frame a question. What percent chance
do
you give the New York Knicks from advancing from this series?
Oh, my brain.
Just in your brain. Just
single digits.
Okay. What is the percent chance you give the Warriors to advance out of the series?
At least triple or quadruple.
It's just comical how I think it's right that we think about both these series this way. But, man, have you heard anybody be like, oh, the Knicks, they're going to figure some things out. They'll be good. I think what Drew Dinzik said yesterday on the show, I don't know that this number is, like, this would be Heat or pass, and I might end up on the Heat at just a plus money line number.
The one thing that doesn't inspire, I mean, there's many things that don't inspire confidence, but the biggest thing is the one thing that you thought you could count on with the Knicks in the series was a rebounding advantage, right? Mm-hmm. The Heat out-rebounded him in game four. Like, that has swung as the series has gone on, too. So, like, if you can't count on that.
Well, and, like, and Spo's got I thought it was going to be a matchup, but two pretty solid coaches when you're talking about game adjustments and stuff. Spo has dominated Tibbs because he's in his head with that stuff, Gil, of who you playing at center and down low. He can't keep Mitchell Robinson on the court. He's the guy that should give you the massive rebounding advantage, but he can't keep him on the court because of different things the Heat are doing. So, yeah, I'm with you. Like, that's one of the areas they should have had, even just one.
All that to say, you're not touching this?
I might get close to betting on the Heat tonight. It would be. I would not be looking towards the Knicks.
I might get close to betting on the Heat.
It's a heavy lean Heat to me.
This is like a total monitoring game for me. It's, again, it could be an under situation. But we'll see. If they start fast, that would be the ideal time to then in-game under on this. Heat and Knicks, the first of two. Heat trying to close them out. Knicks trying to stay alive.
Yeah, there's no part of me that wants anything to do with the Knicks. Like, it would be Heat or pass here.
Last night, Denver and Phoenix, game five, back in Denver. 2-2 series. Each team had won both games on their home court. They head back to Denver. Denver won this game twice last night. They covered this game twice. They were 7-point favorites, some got about 8-point favorites in some spots they closed. They win at 118-102. They won it twice. They led by as many as 15 in the first quarter. Then 14. They were up 14 with 9 minutes left in the second quarter. By the time we had gotten to just under the 2-minute mark, the Suns had come all the way back and led by a point. And you're like, oh my goodness, really? It dissipated that quickly? Nuggets led by 3 at halftime, and then it was over again. The Nuggets were up 18 again before the midway point of the third quarter, led by as many as 24, and just rolled. Jokic, 29, 13, and 12. His 10th career playoff triple-double, most ever by a center, breaking a tie with Wilt.
He's amazing.
Do I need to give Wilt's last name? I don't think I do.
Did you hear the post-game exchange real quick on that?
No.
Right on the court where the inside the NBA guys are asking about it, Jokic throws it back at Shaq. He's like, they let Jokic know that he had passed Wilt.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, Shaq, how many triple-doubles did you have in the playoffs? And Shaq all-timer, he's like, man, he's like, I didn't have a single one. I don't pass.
I don't pass without missing a beat. It's his second this playoff, by the way, a triple-double for Jokic. While shooting 60% from the field. Now, that is the only other three names that have done that multiple times in one postseason. Wilt Chamberlain, there you go, there's your last name, 5 in 1967. LeBron with 4 in the bubble in 2020. And Magic had 2 back in 1984. So Jokic in that company. Bruce Brown, 25-5 for the Nuggets last night. Jamal Murray with 19. Michael Porter Jr. with 19.
Yes.
19-8 boards, 7 of 11 from the field, 5 of 8 from behind the arc. Let me just say this about Michael Porter Jr., and I know he missed three threes, as I just mentioned, but he is in the territory of, I think I talk about this more when, like, if anybody remembers the 1989 NCAA tournament, like, Glenn Rice never missed a three in our memory. Not only did he never miss a three, it was an all net every time he threw the ball up.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of the UNLV guys. I don't know if it was Anderson, Hunter, Greg Anthony. I remember I had a buddy who was like, you know, Gil, I've never seen Anderson Hunt miss a shot in my life. This is how it feels. Every time Michael Porter puts up something, you're like, that's going in. He's starting to get into that area for me. Nuggets were 13 of 27 from behind the arc, 48.1%. And the Nuggets are now 6-0 at home this postseason, a plus 85-point differential on their home court in the elevation. Booker, 28 in defeat, but he finally was human. As we imagined he would be. Oh, 8 of 19 from the field, 4 of 7 from behind the arc. Still great, just not out of this world great. And then KD was 26 and 11. Suns bench only scored 26. Micah Adams chimes in. Casual reminder.
That's just for Doc going forward, yeah. But this is... That's from
the other series?
Yeah. Okay. This is for the other series. But we should hit on that in a sec. But
we will, yeah.
For this one, yes, Porter, huge game. And look, if Jamal Murray's not going to be able to supply some more scoring, if he has a little bit of a, not that he had a bad night, but a little bit of an off night, didn't provide a ton of scoring for them, they need that from Michael Porter Jr. This was, the other thing about this, Gil, was, I don't know about you, but that was like third quarter. When you talk about Devin Booker being human.
Yeah.
When you see Devin Booker start to get frustrated on
finally,
the court,
would he miss 7 shots in the third? I think something like that.
But there, that the couple scuffles right going on.
Yeah.
I was that Jack Nicholson like gif of just like sitting at home like yes, they're getting under his skin.
You know what we don't mention about the Suns, but we should, is the elephant in the room that is DeAndre Ayton.
No, oh, what are you talking about? He sucks. I've talked about it all the time. Hardwood Handicappers, you'll hear about it all the time.
Visa.com/podcast.
That's right. He won't be on this team next year.
Are you a fan of plus minus?
Yeah, when it works, everybody's a fan of plus minus when it works in favor of their argument.
When it corroborates your argument, I'm a huge fan. DeAndre Ayton was minus 21 yesterday, tied for his series low. So the most he's been in a plus minus against Denver is even. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Over all five games, would you like to know what he is?
What?
Phoenix has lost his 148 minutes on the court by 59 points or 19.1 points per 48 minutes. That is horrific. Meanwhile, Ayton's backup, Jock Landale, you know what he is? He was plus 5 yesterday. He's plus 27 in his 74 minutes. Except one dude makes millions upon millions, and the other doesn't even make a million.
So the biggest difference that you can see, though, when Landale gets on the court, this is where I'm dead serious.
Team enthusiasm?
Yes. I don't think yes. DeAndre Ayton is – it's going to be really hard for them to figure it out with his contract, I understand. I don't think he's on this team next year at some point. Because when Landale comes in, just the energy difference that you see, you're like, oh, my God, this guy actually cares about the game. Like, DeAndre Ayton's out there, like, wondering how much those nachos cost that the guy's eating in the first level. Like, I have no idea what he's doing out there. And this is not – like, yes, it's Jokic. Jokic is dominating him. I understand the greatness of Jokic. This is just about DeAndre Ayton. This is not about the matchup. This is about Ayton.
One last thing. Jokic shooting 50% from the field when defended by Landale, which is way down from his 63.2% during the regular season and the 59.3% that he's shooting against Ayton.
That's absurd.
All that said,
he's shooting 50% against a guy, and it's bad.
Yes. He's getting Landale's in his head. So, all that said, the Suns are still going to be favored at home in Game 6, though. They're still, 3.5-point favorites. Do you think this is the series where everybody wins on their home court? And it goes the full 7?
Most likely, yes.
I still kind of think that.
Yeah, most likely, yes.
And then, while I don't think the Nuggets will lose on their home court, I mean, it is scary to face Booker and KD in a one-off.
Absolutely.
But that's how this series feels.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance we're going 7, and I think we might have a hell of a game 7.
All right. Will Hill joined us. We'll get his thoughts on Warriors-Lakers, Heat-Knicks tonight. Anything in baseball he's betting? Anything he's doing? Does he have like a week 11, thought in the NFL with the schedule coming out? All of that next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's a lot to bet on in the next 30 days, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays, though, made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits to let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Also, a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now for only $9.99. at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Still to come, I do have one remaining tennis pick in Italy. We'll get to that next segment. And Kelly on the Byron Nelson.
Boom, boom, boom.
How would you like to be so big in something that some event is just the Kelly Bidlin?
Oh, I plan on it, Gil.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
In what
Kelly
endeavor?
Bidlin Invitational.
Kelly Bidlin
I don't even know what sport yet. Maybe the sport changes every year.
Corn Ferry, maybe? No?
Yeah. Corn Ferry Tour, yeah.
Will Hill, ladies and gentlemen. VSiN's own Will Hill. VSiN contributor at Not The Will Hill. That's two E's and the V joins us now to talk NBA playoffs, MLB, and more. How you doing, William?
Gil, what's going on? It's the show's a lot more entertaining when Kelly loses money the night before, so I'm sorry to hear that he lost, but I have enjoyed the first half hour.
Yeah, you did. He wasn't, you know, I kind of sprung that little segment thing on him. The intro was maybe much.
I just get passionate about basketball, man. Hey, you know, just clear the record, because I had Celtics first half yesterday, and I had a Jaylen Brown over points prop that got home by half a point.
There you go.
I broke even on that game.
Yeah. Still hopping mad, though.
But yeah.
I get angry. Instead of text, just leave voicemails. We'll play those back on the show, like you said. Will, tonight, doubleheader, two game sixes. Pardon me, two game fives. Thank you. Heat up 3-1. Lakers up 3-1. Let's start with the Heat. And by the way, let's show the series prices. Knicks plus 550 to win 3 in a row and advance out of this series. That is what their price is, one step at a time, though. They're 3.5-point favorites tonight. Any thought on this game or on what I just mentioned about the plus 550.
Usually when the higher seed's down 3-1, they're going home for game five, like the Warriors are. I would assume the home team bounces back. You go home and you solve a lot of your issues. I just think the Knicks issues run a lot deeper than home court right now, where, I mean, you mentioned it, they're getting just punked on the glass, out hustled. The Heat missed 16 shots the other day in the second half, and they got 11 of them back on offensive rebounds. And this is the Knicks calling card. I mean, the Knicks are not a great shooting team. They don't have a superstar. They're just a blue collar team that's supposed to, you know, live at the free throw line, live by getting rebounds. And to get beat at your own game like that, I think is concerning. So I do like the Heat plus the points. I don't know if there's still a four out there. I know there was at DraftKings. To me, the Heat, I mean, it's pretty simple. They have by far the best player in the series in Butler. They have the best coach in the series, maybe the best coach in the sport in Spoelstra. And they just shoot the ball a lot better than Knicks. Knicks are not a good shooting team. So, I mean, you never be shocked if a home team bounces back and shows a little pride and wins the game. But it's just hard to back this Knicks team right now. So I have a small bet on the Heat plus the points here.
What about the Dubs tonight? Game five, obviously, their back's against the wall, whatever cliche you want to use, fighting for their life. They got to win this. They're 7.5-point favorites. The market does not seem moved at all, at least at a Warriors home game, by the 3-1 deficit. They hit a couple shots, one here, one there. Maybe they're up in this series, or at least it's tied. Anything here, total 226.
I mean, I played Golden State, and if I had to play it at the current number, I would still lay it. I'd be surprised if this game is close in the third quarter. But the line has moved so much. I mean, it opened 4.5 for a split second. Before you could even bet, it went to 5. Now we're sitting here at 7.5. But again, I don't think this game will be close. I think the Warriors roll. Yet you have to be a little bit concerned. I mean, the Warriors now, this is 2 straight weeks of playing every other night. They have not gotten a breather at all.
Yeah.
You go back to the night before the NFL draft, game 5 against the Kings, into game 6, game 7. They have not had a break at all. It's just been every other night. So you do have to have some concern about that. But I think the Lakers, it's funny how much this has mirrored the Memphis series. Steal game 1, lose, you know, big in game 2. Win game 3 comfortably, kind of steal game 4, and it's really the same things happened in this series. I could see a scenario here. I don't do a lot of same game parlays. I know you guys don't talk about them a lot, but I could see a scenario here where the Warriors win big, and you know, you parlay that with LeBron under points and under rebounds, Davis under points and under rebounds, with the angle that the Lakers are just going to call off the dogs and retreat, thinking, all right, we can get them in game 6. We can't play these guys 44 minutes every night. Let's just sort of sit them out for the fourth quarter, similar to what was in game two.
Yeah.
So I would look at LeBron under points, Davis under points. I just think the Warriors get a big lead, and the Lakers, I don't see them pushing here.
All right, so let's go to all the series prices here, Kelly, because I want to ask Will a hypothetical. So just mentioned that the Knicks are plus 550. They got to win 3 in a row. The Warriors are plus 350, so the market believes in them just a little more to win 3 in a row. The Suns and the Celtics down 3-2. In those respective cases, the Suns are plus 295, the Celtics a mere plus 165. If I said to you, you must bet one of those, which would it be?
Ooh, it's a toss-up between the Suns and the Warriors. You could talk me either in the Suns or the Warriors, because I think the Warriors will roll tonight, and it comes down to game 6. I know you have to win a game 7, but you'd be favored. But I'll go with the Suns here plus 295 because I'm pretty confident they'll win game 6. Like you guys talked about, I don't know that a road team breaks through in that series. For all the people that say the series doesn't start until a road team wins, well, that series might never start. It might be over before it starts. So I could see a scenario where the Suns win game 6, and then if you're sitting there with a plus 295 ticket, all you have to do is get a lead at some point in game 7 in terms of live betting, and you can sort of name your profit. Maybe you get the Nuggets at a plus price. If the Suns get a big enough lead in game 7. So the fact that the Suns only have to win 2, and I do think they'll win game 6, I would go with the Suns plus 295. But again, until the Warriors lose 4 games and maybe even a 5th game, I can't count this team out. I mean, they've just been dead and buried so many times. I'm going to need to see. I mean, it's like the movie Michael Myers or something. I mean, you shoot them in the head 10 times and they sort of shake it off and they're still chasing you.
Is your answer there Suns or Warriors, and specifically not Celtics, because the Celtics price is only plus 165, or because you just have no confidence in them?
Both. I have a hard time seeing. Now, I know the Sixers have had some gut punch losses, specifically 2 years ago against the Hawks. That was just a brutal series to lose. That would be cruel to get this breakthrough win last night on the road and be the signature win. Finally going to get past this hump of the second round and then to just lose game six and game seven. That would be really cruel. I do think the Sixers close it out tomorrow. That building is going to be insane. They got a real chance here to get to a finals. It's funny. They're only minus, they're minus 105 to win the conference, and they're a pickup tomorrow. I mean, you do the math, they're going to be a monster favorite in the conference finals if they do win a game. So I think Philly gets the game tomorrow. And yeah, I like the Sixers here. Something's just off with this Celtics team. And Mazzulla could say, hey, that was our first bad game. I mean, you lost this double-digit favorites twice in like a five-day span to Atlanta.
Thank you.
And, yes. And game one against the Sixers with no Embiid. So, I mean, you've had some really bad performances here. And, you know, you mentioned just the thin line in sports. I mean, if that ball is released by a split second earlier, they're up 3-1. You figure the series is over, and now they're here on the brink of elimination. So, I like the Sixers, and it's setting up. I mean, what if we get Embiid versus Jokic in the finals?
Yes.
Maybe Embiid versus Anthony Davis in the finals. Who knows? I mean, it's setting up. We're going to have a pretty good finals and an interesting conference semifinals no matter what, or a conference finals no matter what, because there's just no great team this year. It's sort of like the NFL has been, where there's a lot of parity. There's an NCAA tournament sort of feel to it where anybody can win. There's not this dominant team. It's sort of wide open. I believe the road teams are over 500 straight up in these playoffs, which goes to show you just how balanced it is.
That last possession in regulation, in overtime, by the Celtics in game four, where Tatum nonchalanted it up the court, and then the ball was released right after the red light came on, is metaphorically exactly who the Celtics have been. Like, just not really engaged in the way they should be. By the way, the Mike Adams thing about Doc Rivers, just a reminder, he said all of the Doc Rivers collapses, most notably three 3-1 collapses, which obviously is not, would not even, he wouldn't even have to be that big of a collapse in this case, but three times he has lost a series, went up 3-1 in a best of seven. Unfortunately for Joe Mazzulla, as Mike Adams points out, none came against a rookie head coach. Real quick, baseball, full slate. What do you like today?
Not a lot. I did play the under in Marlins Diamondbacks. There's a nine out there. Kelly, who's throwing the ball well, against Edward Cabrera, who doesn't have good numbers but has really good stuff. So I like the under nine there. The under nine got home last night, too. I had under first five and under nine. The under first five didn't get home. I don't know if you saw this, but Soler hit two balls. One of them, yes, I think, is still going. It reminded me of the game that sort of, or the home run that sort of clinched his World Series MVP a couple years ago against the Astros. When he hits them, they go. But I do like the under in that game, and the under nine Verlander and Hunter Green, Reds and the Mets. Mets are in some trouble here. Mets do not have good pitching. I mean, Scherzer's all beat up. He's got a neck issue, apparently a shoulder issue. Verlander's old. He's finally back. But outside of that, I mean, the Carlos Carrascos and the Petersons and the Joey Lucchesis of the world, I don't know. You can still get the Mets plus 200 or so to miss the playoffs. To me, that's a pretty good bet. I know it's not a great National League, and you're going to say, all right, who's going to take their place in terms of a wild card? That I'm not sure, but there's a very real chance this team doesn't get to the 85 wins or so you're going to need to get in the playoffs. So Mets to miss the playoffs, I think, is worth a look, too.
Somewhere Jeff Parlay is crying when he hears that. Soler's home runs last night, 1 over 430, 1 over 460 in terms of the measurement.
And that just didn't seem right. Well, that ball looked like 560, the first one. I mean, the first one, I think, is still going.
560. He hit it onto Flatbush Street, as they used to say back in the day with Mickey Mantle homers. And are you going to rant and rave about the Yankees' batting order until it changes, until they get guys back besides Judge? Yes? Is that what's going to happen?
Bowers with a big home run last night.
Okay. Will Hill, nothing more passionate from Will than his disdain for this Yankees lineup. Should be better for that organization with all that payroll. Thank you, Will. Always a pleasure.
See you, Gil. Gold Boys Discord, twitch.tv/Gold Boys Network. See you.
Bang. Coming back with Mike Pritchard and more. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Wednesday, and that means you can call your shot every Wednesday at BetMGM, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Applies today. Place a $25 home run prop wager on any game, and you'll receive a $10 bonus bet. Simply log into your account and opt in, or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to swing for the fences on MLB Call Your Shot Wednesdays. It's just one more reason why the King of Sportsbooks is the best place to bet on baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, New York, and Washington, D.C. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Jesse Welch. New segment idea. Every Monday while Chrissy's there. Oh, this is during football season. He goes, you guys review Kelly's drunk text from the weekend while Chrissy disapprovingly shakes his head. Yeah, we could do that.
This year it might be a lot of, man, the Vikings almost had it.
Oh, by the way, LFC title record chimes back and goes, hate to dicker with your Nuggets game analysis, but I had the Nuggets first half at -3.5. They did not win the game twice last night for me. That was brutal for first half bettors because it was literally the only time the Suns found their way back into the game. All in 216. Nuggets Sixers final is inevitable. Will be must-watch TV. Jokic Embiid MVP debate will be settled on the floor where it should be. Exact matchup currently +325, which is roughly the same as playing both teams to win their conferences right now. Philly -105 and Denver +120.
I am so down for that idea.
And Mike Stacks checks in. 175 days away till Survivor Madness. Gut feeling. Broncos 45-1 Super Bowl. In Peyton we trust. That's what his gut's telling him.
Oh, man. Did you see the shot? The shots of... Russell Wilson and him last night.
Oh, yeah. They were just having a great...
So adorable.
Just a wonderful time,
just
the two of them.
Having a great time, hanging out. Just a couple guys.
Yeah.
You know? Going to get along great, Gil. I'm sure the whole season will be fine.
Yeah. Sad not to see Sierra there, but that's just me. You know the other thing about that game is that I failed to mention? I love that the Denver Nuggets still wear the uniforms that they mistakenly washed with other colors that bled on them. Those are the worst. Why would you? That's a horrible color.
I think I saw the tweet last night. Okay, I like the Celtics ones, like the, you know, whatever we're calling them, alternate or whatever. Yeah. The ones they wore last night, I like those. But the Celtics might have the most classic, greatest uniforms in sports.
Just wear it.
So just wear it. You know how many tweets I saw last night of like, you deserve to lose this game because you didn't wear the right uniforms? I'm like, I kind of agree.
Do the short shorts and everything.
Yeah.
Green sneakers, all of it. It's the Byron Nelson this week in golf.
Yeah.
Or otherwise known as the tournament right before the PGA Championship. And so therefore, Kelly, I would imagine the field will be scarce of big names.
Yes, it very much is. And it's gotten even scarcer. Scarcer? Is that a word? More scarce?
Sure.
Yeah. Over the past few days, we've had a lot of withdrawals if you've been keeping up on this. PGA Championship just released its field this morning. So Wes and I doing long shots yesterday, we're kind of speculating. Were some of these guys getting word in advance that they were already in the field? That seems to be the case, as we did have a bunch of guys pull out. So top of the odds board looks like this. Scottie Scheffler, you may remember, decided to take off his one designated event last week so he could play in this event in his home state of Texas. +360 on Scheffler. Jordan Spieth, the biggest news of the week. Jordan Spieth withdrawing from this event with a wrist injury. Hopes to be back. Yeah. Hopes to be back, Gil, for next week. But sounds like this might be more serious than not. And which, you know me, I am not the biggest Jordan Spieth fan, but
his mouth is not injured, is it? He can still chat up and down the course.
To the cameras,
okay,
yeah.
Just curious.
Yeah, hurt his wrist, but he'd been playing some great golf recently. So I mean, never like to see anybody get injured. As much crap as I talk about Jordan Spieth, always talking to the cameras.
And he's amazing, right? I mean, some of the shots he makes are
amazing.
Yeah,
yes.
It's
around the green, he's a wizard. Yeah. It's incredible. Jason Day 14-1, Tom Kim 16-1. Then you got Hideki Matsuyama 20-1. Everybody else 25-1 or longer. AT&T Byron Nelson, just quick reminder, this is something you and I were talking about during the break, Gil. This is a tournament that has moved around courses. We are at TPC Craig Ranch, which will be for the third year. KH Lee won each of the past 2 years. The first year at 125-1, last year at 100-1, and he comes in as a 25-1 shot now this year.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. So
25-1, tempting enough to play him again?
Okay,
or is the back-to-back-to-back just too much to add?
I don't think so. I think it's
same course.
Same course. So, I mean, obviously he's had great success on the course. I don't think so. The other part of this, Gil, is take away those four names at the top. Actually, I'll go three. Scheffler, Hatton, Day. The only guys I'm really, really scared of, right? So you look further down. I don't blame anybody who wants to take KH Lee at 25-1. I really don't. This guy is actually coming in pretty good form. Eighth at the Wells Fargo last week, 41st at RBC Heritage, 23rd at the Masters, 19th at the Valspar. There's not a lot of other guys in this field that are coming in as with as good a form as him, and he's won it 2 years in a row. So I have a pretty big top 20 bet on him. I don't have a lot of bets this week. This is week before the PGA Championship. I always scale back week before a major usually. But big top 20 bet on KH Lee. And Matt Kuchar, the other guy, I've been betting him a fair amount. Kuchar's been playing pretty good golf here this season, actually. 23rd Wells Fargo, 19th at RBC Heritage, 3rd at the Valero. So doing well in some of these designated events, elevated events, too, with the top quality field. So my biggest positions this week are those two top 20 bets, KH Lee and Matt Kuchar. Did do a little bit of a Matt Kuchar outright. Otherwise, these are all kind of smaller, longer shot outright bets for me. Tom Hoagie, I just thought that bet price was a little off. I think his odds should be a little shorter this week with this kind of field, with how good of an approach player he is. Scott Stallings, 70-1. Sam Stevens, 80-1. Ryan Palmer, Texas guy, 150-1. Familiar with this area. Just the only thing, if you're doing your own golf handicapping at home, just real quick, this is a course that's one of the easier courses on tour. You've got real wide fairways. Distance will help here, but it's not absolutely crucial, and you've got some of the biggest greens on tour. So easy to get your drives in the fairway, Gil. Easy to get up on the green. It's going to be a putting contest this week. Whoever can go up there, stick it close to the pin, make your putts this week is going to win this tournament.
And you've done nothing yet on the PGA next week?
I have one bet, Keegan Bradley, 100-1. My boy Keegs.
Of course you do.
We got a Northeast major. Got to play that angle always. Keegan been playing well. So, yeah, it's the only one I've got in pocket right now.
No one loves Keegan more than you do. All right, tennis. Let's do this in sort of ascending order. Let's talk about the Italian Open, which is going on right now. It's the last 1,000-level clay tournament before the Slam, the French Open, later this month at Roland Garros. It has started already on both the women's and the men's side. I have, again, these are all on the picks page at VSiN.com/picks. But because they're in Europe, obviously, in Italy in this case, in Rome, most of the matches are overnight. So they're on the picks page. If you're a subscriber, you get them at VSiN.com/picks. Hit one already on the overnight. Tomas Martin Echeverri won in straight sets as a minus 152 favorite. So that one's cashed. But there is one left this morning. Starts a bit after the show. Nuria Brancaccio, Kelly. Nuria Brancaccio.
Yeah.
Taking a flyer on her at plus 178. Going up against Julie. It's spelled grab her, but I'm not sure it's pronounced that way. So Nuria Brancaccio is the play at plus 178. That's the one remaining tennis play. Clay, obviously a smaller sample size in terms of the data than hard courts, but this one points in that direction. Clay, where favorites manifest at a higher rate than they do on hard courts. So the dogs are always a little more deliberate, let's put it that way, when I play the clay court dogs here. But Nuria Brancaccio is the play of the day that remains. And I do have an IGA future on this tournament at minus 125.
I don't know how you would pronounce her last name. Julia Graber?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Yeah. You're right. It is spelled exactly that. Yeah. Grab her.
Brancaccio is the play. I do have an IGA future at minus 125 on this tournament. I do have IGA futures on the French. The days of her being 30-1, let alone 7-1 or 8-1, are long gone. But at plus 100, I did make plays on IGA to win the French. So, by the way, minus 120 is actually my shortest in Rome, minus 125. Plus 100 at the French, I would play IGA up to about, she's minus 145 right now. If you could find her at minus 130 or below, I'd play her. Here's the deal for those who are like, wait, but Sabalenka just beat her. These clay courts get slower and slower as the season goes on, and that plays right into Iga's strengths. So, by the way, this tournament in Italy, she's already won twice. She's trying to win her first tournament three times, if you will, in Italy. But the French, she's trying to win for her third time as well, and that's why she will have double-digit majors when all is said and done because of her dominance on clay. So I'd play her at that price. By the way, I also played, Kelly, some Iga Carlos Alcaraz Quinielas, if you will, to use the old highlight term.
Oh.
I got those at plus 230. Actually, plus 265 was my highest on Alcaraz Swiatek, but you can get them at plus 230 right now. The Iga Carlos French Open women's and men's titles. Should be fun later this month, but Italy has opportunities. Again, Brancaccio, the play of the day that remains. Mike Pritchard on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the sports betting network on the NFL.